Hi everyone, welcome back to the Indian Music Charts podcast. This is a show where we break down the hits and analyze trends in the Indian music industry. This week we're discussing something that rarely ever gets talked about, the Marathi independent music industry. And through it, we're diving into how an artist can leverage their catalog of hits to propel a new release up the charts. But first, let's take a quick look at the key moments on last week's chart.
Diving into the key moments, Naina from Crew is the big climber this week, moving all the way up from 132 to number 70. This track is by Diljit Dosanjh, Badshah, and Raj Ranjot, and it's out on Tips Music. This week's new peak belongs to Tere Baaton Mein Aisa Uljha Jaya, which has moved up from 11 to 8. Today is actually Holi when we are recording this, and I heard it at least one time every 20 minutes. So let's see if next week this climbs up even further. At number one for the 12th non-consecutive week is Pehle Bhi Main from Animal. And this week's highest new entry, unless you live under a rock or have uninstalled Instagram, you definitely know this song. It's everywhere, all over Reels. It's a viral hit. It's the track Gulabi Saadi that's making its debut on the weekly charts at number 68. This track is by Sanju Rathod and G Spark, and it has been distributed through Believe. And we have a special guest joining us this week. Welcome to the show, Vishnu. Vishnu is the A&R manager at Believe. He's part of the ASD team and he's worked very closely with this track and also this artist. Hi, Vishnu.
Hi, Akhila.
What is ASD, Akhila? Not everybody knows these.
Vishnu explain this.
Okay. So ASD is the Believe wing where we call it artist services and development. So we work closely, giving them services above distribution and developing them in their growth story.
And, that's a great segue to actually talk about, this track, and we will get into the track as a whole. But, for our podcast also, I think this is the first time that we're actually talking about any Marathi track, leave alone an independent release, right? And, the Marathi music industry, honestly, has been around for a while, especially if you think about the film side, right? Like, I think the first talkies was like, it's almost as old as Bollywood, right? I think it was around the 1930s that the first movie with music and sound, all of that came out. But even then, for an independent Marathi track to hit the top charts, it's quite the rarity, right? And, for our listeners who may not be so well-versed with this side of the industry, Vishnu, could you maybe talk to us about just the Marathi music industry at large?
Yeah. Till now, until, say, probably in the last 3-4 years, Marathi predominantly had been a very strong film-driven industry than an independent. The consumption majorly happened on the film space. Even the composers who had come out or singers who would do independent albums would also branch out from films, whether it be someone like a Swapnil Bandurkar or, whether it's Ajay Atul, who's been the torchbearer of the Marathi space for the last whatever few years. Mm-hmm. But over the past few years, we've seen quite a few independent artists popping up. Sanju is one among them. There has been this very interesting composer, his name is Prashant Nakti, who's been doing, he's a composer predominantly. He doesn't become the face when it comes to, the usual, going away from the usual independent route where he thinks from the more composition space. There is a folk segment in Marathi, which is the fisherman folk, the Agri Koli folk, what they call. There are a lot of artists popping over there in that front. So it's growing in a very diverse way. There are artists like Preet Bandre over there, Raj Irmali, Akshay Patil. There are quite a few people who are there who are growing.
And you're saying this growth is a bit more recent, especially outside the film ecosystem. The film has been pretty big, honestly.
Yeah, film has been very big. This has been pretty recent.
Do you think along with the other non-film side or the indie pop side that grew because of COVID, would you maybe attribute it to that, or like just curious?
It is. It is. It is. Yes, a mix of that and all of it kind of coming together. And because there was this you know, especially during COVID, this lacuna of not much of music happening, a lot of these things started propping up, and that kind of, you know, grew their way into this.
So you'd say this is just about, like, say, 3 or 4 years old, this trend of...
I would say it's a little longer than that. It's not just 3 or 4, but 3 or 4 years, it's picked up a little more. Mm-hmm. But Sanju Rathod has been releasing music since 2016,
17. Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah. So that's... And these are all of these guys are pretty young. I mean, they're all in their early 20s, or probably late 20s, say 26, mm-hmm. 27 max.
Okay.
So these are pretty young artists who are growing and figuring their way into this.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you were to sort of talk about maybe some of the characteristics of the Marathi music industry, mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things you said is primarily been film dominant, a recent emergence of more independent music. You know, even during the indie pop phase, we had certain artists that were, you know, doing well, right? There was Abdul Thukte, there was Beshali Samant. So, I mean, how has that, you know, sort of progressed down the line? Did it also follow the whole Bollywood route of where the indie pop scene was pretty much just absorbed by the film industry?
Yeah, so if you look at, you know, that during that time, it was majorly whether you're talking about a Vaishali Samant or an Avadhoot Gupte or someone like a Swapnil Bandodkar, all of these guys have pretty much, you know, gone back to films and have done a lot of songs in the films too. As much as, you know, when they would do independent, and when they would do that, with probably with a label and in a long term, not independently coming out on their own, distributing their music and probably releasing it in their own YouTube channel and, you know, kind of growing their own space. That has been a little slow over there.
So this
is a space that's kind of picked up in the last few years.
And how similar would you say it is to say another, you know, like other prominent regional music industry, like say take the Bhojpuri industry, which is very much video dominant, YouTube driven, but also very theme driven. I mean, there's a trend that happens and that people catch on to it. Like, I remember some years ago, there was this obsession with Pudina and all the, the
hit blew songs. My mind.
It had something to do with Pudina. And like with Sanju, for example, he's really caught on to this whole, I mean, he's made clothes and accessories like his niece.
I mean, two back-to-back hits about apparel.
The one,
like,
before this was Nawari. Now, people who are not from, I mean, we're all based in like Bombay and in Maharashtra. I mean, you probably know Nawari is like the 9-yard sari that Maharashtrian women traditionally wear. But the new one is Gulabi Sari, And before, I think, Nawari, he released a song called Jhumka.
So,
accessories and clothing. I'm here for this.
So, I mean, he's clearly going for the fashion influencer kind of thing.
Every woman who likes to shop.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more. I mean, are there similarities at all between, like, sort of, you know, these regional industries?
Bhojpuri and Maharashtra, like Marathi industries are like widely different. But of course, the sonic reference is different because the reason where it comes from, the music, the way they approach music, I feel it's a little slightly more at the expense of being a little, it's slightly more evolved when I want to talk about Marathi as
you,
music.
You can
and
be
even
politically
the
incorrect, it's okay.
No, you cannot be politically incorrect. I am stuck in a very weird situation right now, where on one hand, I'm like, give me all the tea. The other hand, I'm like, no, PR guidelines.
I think you can see just from the music, you can tell that just in the sonic quality of the production, there is a clear difference.
Mm. There's a massive difference.
I wanted to ask more in terms of like, for instance, this whole idea of having a theme, is that something that catches on? Or
so the way Sanju operates, the way he thinks about his music is he says, you know, how can I make my music more relatable? So he goes closest to the pop culture when it comes to the kind of words that he wants to use. So it's always a mix of English in Insta Vartakin, you know, stuff like that. So that, you know, it catches on to the younger audiences a little more easily rather than him trying to kind of push the song through. So that has been the intention, rather than, you know, saying that, you know, I am looking at a jhumka or nawari or gulabi sari or probably. So in between all of these things, he also released a song called Bullet Wali, which is also done pretty well. So we kind of, you know, even when we... So
that's for
his...
the male fans, because I mean, I'm being very sexist saying this.
the girl drives a bullet, right?
But that's the... it's Bullet Wali, it's actually the girl, and the girl is...
Yeah, the girl is driving the bullet. The girl
is riding the bullet.
He's quite an evolved guy, but I have to say, one of his first hits was what? This is an amazing title. Meepan Tujhavar Line Marti. It's a girl singing that line, by the way. So
he always does that, you know. Even if you look at Nawari and if you look at Gulabi Sadi, he is singing lyrically. If you look at it, he's singing both the man and the woman side. So he's transitioning between the two throughout the song. So it's not that it's restricted only to, you know, the girl singing or a guy singing. And he's bringing on those parts.
I just want to translate that line for people, again, our non-Marathi speakers, because I've been being in Bombay. I mean, the other thing, like you mentioned with Sanju's songs, I mean, because he uses so much English, I mean, I don't speak Marathi, but because I'm familiar with the language, I could understand the lyrics quite easily.
Yeah.
You know, that line is essentially, I will also...
hit on you.
Hit on you. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a rough situation. I will also hit on you. Yeah.
Like, you know, and there is, like you said, a certain amount of relatability that's coming from, A, one hand, the simplicity. The other hand, like you said, it's like English and Marathi. I don't know, is that called Monglish? Because there is something called English, right?
I mean, but like, we would
call that Monglish, and then it becomes Malayalam with...
what is Marathi with English then? Marlish. No, that sounds horrible. Never mind.
No, but, you know, even with this song, with the references, like, I was telling Akhila, this is the most meta song, because this song is trending on Reels, and he talks about Reels.
Shooting something on Reels,
buying her a ring light, and, like...
So...
No, tell us actually more about that. This is actually the story that's continuing from Nawari. It's the same girl, right? Tell us more about that, because actually, what you guys have kind of done is you've tapped into people who... The core fan base was already aware of Nawari and the story that happened over there. So kind of tell us about that. Like, how did that song grow, and how did you catapult that into this track?
Yeah. So what we, so there are, as always, whenever we look at things, there are multiple layers when we look at, you know, creating a campaign. But before that, all of these things actually lead from the song. So when we heard the song, actually Sanju had happened to, because of unforeseen reasons, had to take a longer break in between this 22 and 23, you know, so which is why there was no releases that kind of happened to him. So Nawari was among the first things that released at that point of time. So when we heard that song, we kind of, you know, devised certain things that has to be done, one to bring in the audience to his YouTube page, so that there is a lot more traction that's kind of happening there. So we did a lot of UGC stuff happening on the shorts. We uploaded a lot of shorts on his page. So through which we kind of created a lot more traction on his page, and plus bringing in, you know, micro influencers and all of those things, bringing in a lot of smaller elements, pegging it in together. Sanju as a name wasn't that popular, so we had to bring in PR. So we, and specifically Marathi PR. So we did all of these things during Nawari, and Nawari kind of grew. And what we, in the campaign also, what we chose to do, because it's specifically focused towards women and towards that community. You know, we saw that, you know, if we can engage with them, if we can create like a pattern that of a transition reel. That kind of picked up, and that is what actually grew Nawari to a different space. So we kind of planted all of those things, and that grew Nawari. And you know, Sanju and I keep having these conversations through and through, even before releases. We keep like bouncing ideas with each other on what we do and all of those things. So when I heard this song, and when like Sanju and we were jamming on this, we both thought of it that, you know, this should be like a good part two of Nawari, and we kind of positioned this as a part two, and kind of drew the audience to that and continued the effort in the same way. So we ensured that, you know, we kind of focus on certain specific areas and we kind of grew it with them. That's what we did.
And, you know, I don't like that. Like, you know, very few people actually admit to how much work goes on behind the scenes in marketing a track. We always hear a lot of, we just put the song out into the world and, you know, people made it their own. And I'm like, I hear you, but I see through the lies because it takes work, right? And like, just talking about how this track has really grown, right? Like, it's number 11 on YouTube right now, I think 20 million odd views, right?
Yeah.
Number 10 on Spotify India viral charts, and surprisingly number 8 in Guwahati city charts, right?
Surprising to me. I mean, I'm totally, when I saw that data, I was like, whoa, what is this? I mean, I'm suddenly seeing some.
Yeah.
Some
weird... I remember when you and I were talking, I think you mentioned to me, even when you go to Reels, you'll actually see a lot of Reels that are being made in Assam, right?
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. And like, why do you think he has this crossover appeal? Because that's one of the people keep talking about crossover. And we've also spoken about this as a podcast, is, you know, why are we always thinking about crossover as crossing over from India to the West? Have you crossed over within India? And he has obviously done that. Tell us a bit more about that. Why and how do you think he has developed this crossover appeal?
So, according to me, the few things that we already discussed, you know, because of the relatability of the lyrics and the simplicity of the way the composition is, that kind of appeals to a larger cross section. And these tunes are very hooky and very catchy. So that kind of picks up. And also, you know, the simplicity in which or rather the relatability or the repeatability of the activity that we kind of do in the campaign, that also is kind of helped to pick up the song. So all of these three things is what I think has helped. Also, there are many other subtle things. I mean, in this song specifically, Gulabi, I'm just saying, if as a producer, what G Spark has done is actually used Brazilian beats in a 6/8 pattern and included as a part of this. So, you know, these are things that probably you might not say that, you know, isse audience ko kuch farak padta hai, but these are things that subconsciously kind of work and saying that, oh, this is something that you listen
yeah.
to. You know?
Yeah, that's why it's always very interesting.
From, by the way, because he's not from India, right? Where is he from?
Oh, no, actually, that's a thing that we are kind of, you know, he's actually Gaurav Rathod, who's Sanju's younger brother.
So he is
calling himself G Spark.
Oh, but on Spotify, if his profile is linked to somebody else.
No, so there has been an, it's recently happened, it's got some error, so we are working on relinking.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. See, this is the problem with having two artists of the same name.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's so cool. He works with his younger brother. I really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's been doing this since his first song. I mean, G Spark has been his producer always.
And you said 2017 is when he started making music?
Little earlier than that, 2015, 16. 2017 is when Dimple, I think, came out, and Dimple was his biggest song. It kind of blew up for him.
I have one more, I'm curious, right? Hmm. Because you did speak about shots specifically, and that, you know, also the video is doing pretty well on YouTube. Between the two short format platforms, with Reels and YouTube, do you think, did YouTube play a bigger role in this one?
I feel it's about the same. But I feel Instagram will still be slightly more higher as compared to, with respect to discoverability of a song.
Okay.
And, you know, you mentioned sort of how Nawari was more about the transition. Whereas this one, it's more about the hook step, right?
It's more about the hook step, yeah.
So you had these different strategies. I mean, so how do you, what makes you, you know, think of those? Okay, this is what we're going to do with this particular track. And
that comes out of a lot of conversations, jamming internally within the team and also with the artist. Me and my colleague Neha go loggerheads over each other, fight with each other. We kind of come up with these things.
Fights are important to be had.
These are good, happy fights to have.
Yeah. How do you, I mean, what are some of the factors that come into decisions like that? I mean, just to give it, who wins at these things? I mean,
I mean, what are the factors that go into deciding what direction you go in? I mean, ultimately, if they're two competing ideas, how do you kind of pick one?
Yeah, so the major factor is, you know, we lay down a few objectives whenever we look at a campaign. What is meeting those objectives? It's not about whether it's me or whether it's him, whether it's Sanju or whether it's Neha who's right. It's about, you know, how do we kind of reach our objectives and where are we going to go with going with this song? So that's what we look at. And when we feel that the song is strong and we know that it can reach a certain place, we would want to ensure that it gets there. So that's where we kind of define it.
Yeah, no, I'm really on board for this. You know, like, I think very often, like, when you get into a creative debate with artists on, you know, oh, I want to do it this way, I want to do it that way, I think really the North Star is, it's not how are we getting there, where do you want to go exactly? Yeah. You know,
so, I mean, to somebody who's really not from this world, which I think both of you are slightly, when you say the objective, but how is the objective, say, different for an Awari or different for a, you know, Gulabi Sari? It's the same objective, right? So how would you, my question is more like, how do you decide the strategy? Like, you decided that would be transition, decided this would be hook step, whereas both could have easily lend themselves to transition wheels, right?
I'm going to let Vishnu take this and I have a point of view which I'll follow up with afterwards.
Okay. I'll tell you what we kind of thought about it in either of these songs slightly differently, because when we came up with Nawari, we wanted to ensure that it breaks within Maharashtra first, because it's important that when we have our inter thing sorted, then, you know, it kind of travels outside and then we can figure the thing out, you know, how it goes. So, but with Nawari, it not only, you know, did well within the community, it also kind of went out and did better outside too. And that impact, we thought, you know, it could become better when it comes to, you know, a Gulabi Sadi sort of a song, because it had a little more, I mean, if you look at the word Gulabi Sadi, it's easily relatable to probably anyone across the country, unlike a Nawari, because probably that word may not have been heard by someone who's someone from outside the, you know, state. So we thought, you know, this could be a song where we should explore a little more outside, and we should go a little more outside when it comes to that. So we kind of broke it down to those kind of objectives, and we kind of, you know, went there, and then we did.
So are you saying that a hook step is something more, you know, something that's replicable across the country?
Yeah.
The as opposed to a transition reel where somebody, a woman is wearing a Nawari sari.
Yeah,
it's a lot more effort also.
It's a lot more effort.
Yeah. But the thing is, and where I would like to add here, is that when you try to go deeper into a particular community, that's where you can increase the effort level, because there it's about cultural pride, right? So that's why for the first track, it made more sense to think about a transition reel, because they are invested and they'll put in the effort. But now if you want to go wider, you got to make it a little bit easier, right?
Yeah.
The other thing that I also, like you said, see, ultimately, broad level, right? Obviously, the goal is always that it has to be a hit, right? But I think when we talk about what is the objective, we have to look at the audience segmentation. A hit amongst which community, right? And that's where what he said kind of comes into play. And I would sometimes also even add a layer saying, okay, find your core fans. In fact, like, my favorite framework, it's like a bullseye, okay? It's a little framework where you start with the fans you must have, you should have, the last is you could have. So when you think about it like that, you got to think about what is going to resonate with the you should have audience. So if you, again, look at this particular track, right? The audience you should have is obviously people from the Maharashtrian community, people who understand the cultural nuance to this. So you absolutely should have them, right? You must have them, rather. This is your must-have audience. You should have anyone who is a fashion influencer who will take the little bit of an effort to find that trending track, but who also really appreciates these kind of transition reels, right? And the last one that you could have is literally anyone who likes something that's trending or who likes a certain sound, right? That's actually the last audience you look at. And so then you kind of work backwards. So I think the framework is essentially, yes, you want it to be a hit, but where do you want it to be a hit first? That really lays out, you know, the way forward for you.
No, that's your budget.
That's the other thing.
Yeah, no, that's a great representation and visual representation also, you know, the bullseye where you have everything is your target audience, but they're different types of targets. And
like my girl Taylor Swift said, when you want to be friends with everybody, you will be friends with nobody.
I don't think she said that originally.
I know it is in her lyrics. Some songwriter said it.
It is a very well-known phrase. Anyway,
I just support Taylor Swift quietly, please.
I don't think anybody does not support Taylor Swift, but you know, Vishnu, for this song, you got a bunch of people to sort of had who did reels on it, right? One is of course Madhuri Dixit, who was the most sort of obvious kind of candidate for this kind of thing. Then you had like Killy Paul, you know, the African sort of content creator who also got, who's basically doing a lot of like pretty much, I think most of
that. He's now one of those people that we assume lives in Bandra.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Acorn. Remember Alan Walker. Acorn, which is all, yeah, Alan Walker. It's like you guys are always here.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell the truth, you have.
Everybody's always up, on trend
around here, yeah.
In India and Mumbai Indians. So, like, why Mumbai Indians?
So I'll tell you what happened with all of these guys, whether it's Madhuriji or whether it's Killy Paul or whether it's MI or you know, a bunch of others. All of these guys actually caught on to the song and they kind of loved it and they picked it up. To Killy, he liked it so much that, you know, he ended up making a singing version of that song. So it's those are things that happened actually at the later stage, like in the current, you know, of currently. But what we did was, you know, we didn't, you know, we kind of reached out to them and we kind of sent the song to them. And because, see, there is only, these are regional artists. These are, and they come with a certain restrictions when it comes to their own, you know, the way kind of they work. So you can only extend that much when you do things. So these are things that kind of picked up organically and then that kind of blew it. That's what happened in the last few years.
So are you saying Mumbai Indians just liked the song and decided to do their own thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can believe it. We don't have the budget to do this.
Yeah. But, yeah, actually, we didn't have the budget at the
start. No, actually, no, I'm kidding. I have no idea what your budget is.
Considering that we forgot to sort of mention the disclaimer, although, I mean, you know, I thought that she is in a completely different department, but...
Yeah. So, no, I joke about having any visibility into his budget, but disclaimer for those who have not heard this before, TuneCore is a part of Believe, but we sit on the same side of the office, so I could find information in other ways by like sneaking up on him, but I haven't done that.
Overhearing, but anyway,
I don't have to. I could come in.
Or that. This is more clandestine, and I feel like a spy. Please let me feel like a spy.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, one of the things that you mentioned was a large part of Sanju's audience is female, right? And I think you said. I think you told us, shared with us that it's 40% as much. Yeah. Is it over 40%? Is that unusual for a Marathi pop star?
It's actually unusual for any kind of regional spaces, from whatever that I have noticed. You know, it usually hovers around 20 to 27, 20, 30%.
So this is significantly above it.
This is like significantly above. And I believe this is strongly because of... because he has engaged a lot more female creators in this whole process, and that's kind of, you know, held on to this whole thing.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. Even a lot of the micro influencers that you engaged with as a part of the campaign, by virtue of the fact that earlier it was transition reels, then obviously this is a song called Gulabi Sari, you obviously engage more women in the campaign itself, right?
And he's clearly found his niche, right? He's going off clothes and accessories.
I stan.
So Sanju jokingly just told me this, you know, he has a friend of his in somewhere in Kolhapur. Suddenly, after the release of the song, in about 15 days, there was increase of the pink sari sales in his friend's store, because apparently a lot of these women wanted to create reels.
So I love that.
He said, I don't know whether I should be happy about it or sad, but something like this is happening.
Start a merch line. I mean, like, just simply start a merch line.
Like, I think let's find all endangered, like, you know, craftsmanship of India. Let's start creating songs around it and propel their sales. Okay, no. Now this is going into like Illuminati sort of zone where we're trying to control the global economy.
But
I think it's really cool though. You know, I honestly can see it happening.
Yeah.
One more thing that just sort of, you know, related to the industry and the regional Marathi music industry, because we don't really talk about it. You've had somebody like him have fairly big streaming success, right? Nawari before this. I think you said Dimple was his first hit. How much of a live audience is there? Like, is there, I mean, how, and how has this impacted, you know, maybe his, like his touring, for instance, within the region?
So that's the thing. I mean, Marathi live has, is predominant. I mean, from whatever that I have seen and, you know, whatever I've witnessed so far, the live space is pretty much active for folk, for classical and film music. For a Marathi pop space, there is less or probably no live at all at this point of time.
Oh, okay.
So that's a big space. That's a big vacuum that's kind of there. And, you know, we are trying to figure out ways to kind of work on that too, because it's critical that an artist goes out and, you know, it's visible within their skin that, you know, this is how the artist looks, this is how he performs, this is how he sings, and that kind of builds that connect with the audience, you know. In the Marathi pop space, there has been hardly anything. I mean, a Prashant Nakti and a Preet Bandre, who are among the bigger artists in this pop space, have probably done a handful of shows. That's all that's happened. There hasn't been anything as such.
That's very interesting. That's a big gap, then, I guess, is willing to be filled in the industry. You know, or do you feel it's primarily because they're already, I mean, Maharashtra being the home of sort of the film industry overall, is this something that's difficult for them to do, to sort of, because there's so many other avenues for people to watch musicians live?
I have a slightly different perspective on this. It's not about whether it's whether it's film or non-film. I think this space has been growing, you know, quite recently. So probably, you know, it's going to take some time for even these artists to kind of figure out what they're going to do with their live set. Because first is whether the artist has created a product in that live space. Then, you know, go to the market and see what the demand is. So there is a question at the first level itself, whether some of these artists have even curated and created this at the live, you know, at the first step. So they have been focused so much on creating their music and releasing that may not have happened up to an extent for a lot of these people. So that's where this transition is happening, because soon all of these guys have all started talking about, you know, going and performing live and all of those things. So you will see that transition happening soon in the next, like, in a year, year and a half.
Yeah, and in this particular case, you just need a bunch of backup dancers wearing nawaris and gulabi sarees. And
that would do so well.
You've already got like a whole...
you have a whole act for this. But I think you're right. Like, I think it's so early stage that it's also in that space of audience development, right? Like, you know, and Amit, like, to your point about, like, when we are here in Mumbai and in Maharashtra, where there's really, like you said, every kind of entertainment available to us, but I still think there's a huge, huge market for regional content, right? For example, because, like, I still see a lot of people here attending Tamil concerts, right? That's because there is a community over here. They are very much going for Bollywood concerts, but they also really want, like, Tamil music. So similarly, there's no reason why someone who speaks Marathi does not want to enjoy that content, but they still do, actually. In fact, it just so happens that they go for playback concerts right now. And I think the way it even took Hindi, how many years? I've actually lost count for it to go from just film live music to actually having pop stars. How many years has that taken us, Amit? Like 10?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you look at a historical context, I guess it's a little difficult to say. If you say, like, you know, the
I mean, we had the 90s, we had a break.
Well, actually, it dates back to the 1940s, right? And then you had, like, I suppose in the 70s also, you had some kind of, you know, an 80s basically, some kind of non-film music, which is like ghazals and, you know, those types of things emerging. And then I think the most significant one was the 1990s. So
yeah,
it took about, you know, 50 years for it to sort of come into some any kind of...
Here's like, hoping that the Marathi industry does not take 50 years to produce pop concerts. You know,
we're talking about the streaming era now. We're living in a very different time.
It's very accelerated. Yeah.
And I suppose lastly, Vishnu, we want to ask you a really important question, which is essentially that, you know, you mentioned YouTube, where things take off primarily in the, you know, in the regional language industries especially. But what this song has managed to do, and very successfully, is actually make a leap onto getting huge number of audio streams, right? And yeah. I think it's already up. It debuted at number 68 from the weekly chart, but I just checked the daily chart today, and I think it's already in the top 30.
It's
climbing. You know, yeah. So how difficult is it to make the shift from, you know, from say YouTube to audio streaming? And this is not something that happens with Bhojpuri that easily. I mean, I'm just going back to it again. You don't see, like, you know, the big Bhojpuri tracks really taking off in a big way on audio streaming, like this song has done. You know, I mean, we've seen it happen with like Tamil music, for instance. Tamil pop is having some kind of like a moment. But of course, that film industry is so strong nowadays, you know, and Tamil and Telugu especially. But yeah. Marathi, this is probably the first track that has, I think, at least as far as we know, on the Spotify chart, climbing so high. And so how difficult is it to have that transition happen, and how?
It is actually, you know, slightly tough because it, you know, audience, there is also those many number of consumers are there, and there's a certain threshold, you know, every market kind of has when it comes to people consuming it on the streaming. But, you know, this song has kind of crossed all of those things. I mean, I have not seen any other Marathi artist songs doing some crazy number of streams like this. I mean, he's crossed at this point of time about 300k a day. So that's like massive opening that you kind of have on this particular thing. Whereas if you look at all his other songs, even his biggest hit, previous hit, which is Nawari, his peak was about 45 to 48k a day, and he has been there's been a flat line of about 27 to 30k on an average that he's been hitting on a song like Nawari, and previously before that it's about 9 to 10k, and that's been the range for most bigger artists in this Marathi pop space that kind is there in the streaming. This I'm specifically referring to, you know, numbers within the JioSaavn, Spotify, and all of these. On an average, this is what is happening. Mm-hmm. So this transition has happened specifically, one, because the song has gone, you know, crossed the barriers of Maharashtra and kind of gone outside, and that's why there is this kind of a shift. But otherwise, it's going to be hovering around. There is going to be a certain number of restriction that's kind of happened, because there are only those many people listening to that language and understanding that language and relating to that language.
Correct.
It's a language barrier essentially. But this one, like you said, because he tends to use so much of English in his lyrics, it becomes quite easy to understand. And Marathi and Hindi are pretty close.
So while there is a barrier, that's my next thing. Even with Sanju, you know, while there is a barrier, it's also very close to Hindi. So it's not that the barrier is so far away that, you know, you need to break down walls to kind of do stuff differently. Unlike, say, for example, a Tamil and Hindi is, I mean, we know that there are certain words.
Completely different.
I mean, I struggle. My wife is a Maharashtrian. I struggle with her sometimes having conversations. That's where, you know, Marathi, for Marathi to cross that barrier isn't going to be a big thing, because that's what we saw with this particular song. The idea is how easy we are able to bring that in. The poetic language is still very difficult. I'm not expecting that language to kind of transcend and transfer into something like this. But a popish kind of a language for sure is ready to kind of go and take it to the next stage when it comes to the language.
And with this particular track, do you just think that it's the fact that it has crossed over, like say Guwahati, like we saw, is that the reason why it's able to get these stream numbers, because it's gone outside of that core sort of threshold?
Maybe tell us what the top cities are, right? Like outside of Maharashtra.
Yeah. So I was speaking to Akhila about this, you know. So the top cities, I mean, when I looked at the top 10 cities on Spotify for this artist, only three of them are from Maharashtra. The rest are outside of Maharashtra.
Yeah, I saw the top five. I think apart from Guwahati, I mean, there's Nagpur, Pune and Mumbai are in the top three. And I think the other two, I can't remember the last one. But
so the top five is Mumbai, Pune, Guwahati, Ahmedabad and Nagpur.
Yeah.
And after that is Kolkata.
Okay.
So it's kind of picking up big on the east side and also on the Gujarat and on this side.
So if we would end by just maybe asking you for like three tips that say that Sanju has been like a sort of like a case study and what other regional artists can do to sort of, you know, further their audience and have this crossover potential, what would they be?
Okay. From whatever my learnings are on this is, first is on the content front, how relatable are you making it for the entire country by keep holding your own individuality, because that's going to be the most critical part of this. If you're going to be sounding like a Punjabi artist and making a Marathi song, it's absolutely not going to make sense. You will need to bring in that individual element of what that land and what that land has to say as a story. So that is the core element as a part of it. The second thing I would want to say is, you know, choose when we're looking at marketing, instead of saying that this is, I will do this, four things, try and see if you can narrow it down to two things and focus on two things and do those two things very effectively, so that it kind of reaches out to a larger cross section rather than doing everything and then not being not going anywhere. This is my second thing. And third thing is it's something that everyone says we have to be consistent about in releases and what we're doing and how we want to do this and see how closely we can engage with our fans and how closely we can speak to them and hear them and respond to them. What Sanju would also do, actually none of these things would happen without the artist taking equal effort in this. He would actually go and see every reel and comment on it. He has actually liked people and done a lot of these and shared those reels from a lot of these creators. Some of these creators might have probably 25 followers, but he has actually taken effort to see what people have done and kind of like and go and comment. If he's seen something interesting, he's kind of reached out to them, spoken to them. So it's that in that presence, and that has created a lot of impact in that relationship with that artist, and that kind of growing. So with whatever that we are doing, what we're doing, it is also the artist who's taken a lot of effort into making this happen.
No, I love that. And you know, that's just really so sharp for like, you know, not just the artist, but like obviously the team around him, which is obviously you guys, right?
Yeah, you have trained him well.
No, I think he also, I don't know him personally, I've never met him, but I think there are always a brand of artists who have a certain sense of understanding their audience, and he's evidently one of them, right? The fact that he's literally engaging directly with his fans, even if they have 25 followers, I think that's amazing. And I think you really can't say this enough, like, really engage with your audience, and like it literally just takes one person to tell two more persons, and that really snowballs into something, you know. And thank you, Vishnu, for taking the time out and telling this wonderful story, and honestly really just taking us into this industry that we haven't explored. We learned a lot from you.
This is essentially Marathi
101,
an industry 101. Exactly, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much for having me. I don't know about whether it's whether it was 101 or what, but I really had fun chatting with y'all. I just spoke what I know. Probably I didn't.
No, it's
okay. We also speak what we know, and sometimes we speak what we don't know. So it's fine.
Take it till you make it.
I love that. Okay.
No, I'm glad to be a part of this, and thank you for having me as a part of this. I'm really glad. I've been listening to y'all for quite some time. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, wow. Thanks. That's awesome.
Yeah. We're still always surprised when we meet someone who listens to the show, because we always thought there'll be three people. But thank you everyone who also tuned in, and we will see y'all next week.